We're going to talk about the Passover lamb tonight. I'm sure thankful for that Passover lamb. How about you? And I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you've never heard about. I just think it's good that we, before we take the Lord's Supper, I think we should think about that wonderful Passover lamb. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 through 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. So glad you're here. If you look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt." Now you know the people of God were in bondage for over 400 years, and here God's getting ready to, Moses ready to lead them out of there. You know the story. It's an exciting story. Look what it says there. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Look at verse 13. "And the blood." Thank God for that blood. I'm going to share few scriptures about the blood tonight. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood," see, God's looking for the blood. There's a blood that saves people. There's a blood atonement. Amen? "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." And God does believe in memorials. "And you shall keep it to a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." God said, "I don't ever want you to forget this." This wonderful type of this lamb that's going to shed his blood to protect you tonight. Don't ever forget that. And not only was that a true for that day, but 1,500 years later, it was another true. There was another lamb that went to Calvary's cross that shed his blood. That lamb saved us throughout all eternity. Now drop down to verse 24 through 27. "And ye shall observe," verse 24, "and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." Don't ever forget about this blood atonement. Don't ever forget about this Passover. "And it shall come to pass," and it always does, doesn't it? "And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." By the way, when we get to heaven, we'll see the wounds of our Savior. You'll always see those wounds. And throughout all eternity, we'll see the nail-scarred hands, the wounds in his hands. Always remember what he did for us, that lamb at Calvary. Amen? "And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" Verse 27. "That you shall say, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover." How many see that? Had nothing to do with them. It was the Lord's Passover. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me to have a clear mind tonight. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to the people. Thank you for the good day that we've had thus far. In just a few moments, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper that you gave to your local church. I don't want it to be taken lightly. I think we should have, our hearts should be put in a special place when we take that Lord's Supper. The meaning and the truth behind it. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for our Passover lamb tonight, the Lamb of Glory that shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. Just like the blood of this lamb, of these lambs for these people of Egypt and Israel back then protected them. Lord, I thank you for the shed blood of Christ, the Lamb of Glory, that his blood protects us throughout eternity. We praise you for that. Bless us now. Help us to just get excited about your word, and help us to rejoice in the things that you've done for us. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here was the first Passover that God gave to the people of Israel. By the way, it wasn't the first time something was slain. We won't turn to it, and I won't get into it because I go. But when you study the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an innocent animal. They were naked, and God clothed them. We believe that was a lamb. We believe that they were clothed with lambskins. And right from the very start, God was showing you the blood atonement of a lamb to cover us. Amen? And that he gave them coats that would cover their nakedness. And, of course, the blood of Christ covers our nakedness for our sin. If you'll notice in verse 5 of this chapter 12, it talks about the lamb had to be a male and without blemish. If you also notice verse 13, that the blood of the lamb was what God was looking for. Notice verse 13. And the blood shall be to you. Are you in verse 13 with me? For a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood. Let me see that. See, God demanded blood and God's looking for blood. People say, well, those Baptists, they've got a bloody religion. Yes, we do. And I don't apologize for the bloody religion that the Baptists got, because it took the blood of God's lamb to be shed so you and I can have forgiveness of sin. Don't ever be ashamed of the precious blood of Christ. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And by the way, when we get to heaven, he'll have to see that blood first applied to us before he'll pass over us. Amen? And that's what God was looking for, that shed blood, for their protection and for their redemption. And if you'll notice verse 27, it says that it was, this sacrifice was of the Lord's Passover. How many see that? The sacrifice was called the Lord's Passover. And I noted something. The sacrifice, because of the lamb's sacrifice, the blood was put on the doorposts. You know the story. The wood doorposts, kind of like the cross of Calvary. Hello? And the Jewish people were set free from Egypt's bondage because of that blood. It's that atoning blood of God's lamb that sets us free. Amen? And the slain lamb's blood set them free. And now all this was done about 1,500 years ago, before the birth of Christ. And I want you to see now what, go up 1,500 years and go up to John chapter 1. And look at verse 29, a familiar scripture you could quote. And by the way, when you quote it all. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Just don't stop there. Because John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Let me see John 1:29. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming. That was John the Baptist. Seeth Jesus coming unto him. And look what he said the moment he saw him. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I thank God for that Passover lamb. Jesus was our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7, don't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ is our Passover. And so we see that in John 1:20, John said, the moment he saw Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." Note, a sacrificial lamb that could take away the sins of all the world. Did you notice what he said there? "Which taketh away the sin of the world." Not just for the Jewish people. Not just for the Gentiles. No, this lamb here was brought for all people. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Amen? Listen, not just the sins of the Jewish people, not just the sins of a Gentile, but a sacrificial lamb for the sins of all the people of all the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Listen, Jesus' sacrifice was for all people, for all, from all places, for all time. So a lot of times we think, well, he just loved Americans. We weren't even on the planet. We weren't even a nation yet when Jesus was back there on the Calvary. Amen. But the way that the lady sang, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. And I'm thankful that God loved the whole world. See, God wants all the world to be saved. This week when you go out and meet people, you can just know one thing for a surety. Christ died for that person that you're talking to. Christ, that person that you're dealing with, Christ died for that person. He arose for that person. He shed his blood just so that person and you could go to heaven, just so I could go to heaven. Don't take that lightly. He not only just did it for us. A lot of times we think we're the VIPs, very important people, and we are. But I'm going to tell you, we're no more important than anybody else. Christ died for all the people. You know, I've been in Germany, and most of the German people have nothing to do with the things of God. I was thinking about that Russian girl, Josh. I remember as I was flying into Germany, a Russian girl, probably 25 years old, I think, and she was sitting in a chair next to me on the plane, and I started to witness to her, and she said, I don't know who Jesus Christ is. I was thinking about that about a week ago. I was thinking about when I was over in Germany. I can just see that young lady sitting there. I said, has anyone ever told you about Jesus Christ? She said, I never heard of him. This lady could speak, Josh, this lady could speak four languages. Hello? She was an educator. She was going to teach in the German schools. She said, I never heard of him. And I said, well, he loves you. And Christ died for you. And I shared some scripture. I pulled my little New Testament out. And I prayed with her before we got off the plane. And what broke my heart was that even though Christ died for all, believe it or not, many people of the world were so, aren't you glad to be an American? We've been blessed. We have been blessed to know about the Son of God. But he died for all people, not just us. He died for the Russians, the Germans, you name it. I don't care, name any country you want, any person you want. He died for them as much as he died. And he loves them as much as he loves you and I. And he gave as much of his blood for their soul as he did for our soul. And I'll never forget. There was a lady that could speak several languages, a very attractive lady, a lady of, you could tell she was very intelligent, yet I was taken back, Bobby. I'll never get over it. She said, I've never heard of Jesus Christ. I've never heard of him. It's put me back. I said, you almost think, how can you not hear about Jesus? Well, the people in the Russian blocks, they don't hear about. That's why I'm so glad. Like next week we'll have a Brother Hamilton in Moldova, which is near Russia. It's like a Eastern Bloc there. I'm always thrilled when we hear news going into Russia. And I noticed on our website, there's people from Russia are coming down to our website. I think there was the other day, like I think it was 15, 16 hits on our website from Russia. And so, you know, God, listen, sometimes we get too high-minded. Oh, we're the most important people of the world. You know, we do everything for Christ. I'm going to tell you, we're not any more important than the next guy. We're just privileged to know the Savior. So we see that Christ died for all people, for all time, for all in all places. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. How many are glad he's sacrificed for you and I? And that was what they did back there in Egypt was a type, a symbol of what was to come, the real Lamb of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price. That price was Christ's blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, he gave all, he purchased us. And because he gave all for me, I need to try to give all for him. Amen? Listen, Christ sacrificed on Calvary to pay all our sin debts, and he did. And his blood, that wonderful atonement of blood that he shed, paid our sin debt. And he sets us free. Amen? Would you look at a few scriptures with me before we do the Lord's Supper? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I know you know all this that preacher's talking to you about tonight. I know you know it all. You know what, though? Let me encourage you teachers and you preachers and you deacons. Don't quit telling the story. Keep telling it over and over and over. I'll be honest with you, many times I get excited hearing the old the song, tell me the old story, you know. It never gets old. It never gets stale to me. I'm excited about what Christ did for me. How about you? Well, I want you to look at a few scriptures with me before we take the Lord's Supper. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Look, how many have got Ephesians 1, 7? In whom we have redemption through his blood. The only reason you got redemption is because Christ was willing to sacrifice and be that Lamb of glory, that Passover Lamb at Calvary, and shed his blood for you and I. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm amazed how people can think they can lose their salvation or they can work for their salvation. I want to tell you, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, Carl likes to quote that one scripture, because we're workmen, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have to do good works because what he's done for us, not to be saved, but because we are saved. You see that? Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through the his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Boy, see, when I see the blood, he told Moses, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad that atoning blood was shed for me. How about you? And look at the next book. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 5 through 8. And I'm in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to get the mind of Christ. We got our mind on too many other things. That's why we don't achieve things like we're supposed to. That's why we don't do things like we should. Because our mindset is not set where it's supposed to be. Even tonight, I don't know where your mind is with me tonight. But the Bible says, set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. And many times our affections get so caught up on the things of the earth, we don't have no room to let the affections of Christ, which we should have all the time. Look at verse 5. I'm in Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation. If anyone could make a reputation, the Son of God could. But he didn't. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's what we all need to be, a servant. We ought to have a servant's heart, a servant's mind. And was made in the likeness of men, although he was a God-man. And being in the form of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can anyone say amen? Up Calvary Mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. Then it goes on, oh precious Redeemer, blessed Redeemer. Amen? I want to tell you right now, I'm glad we got a precious Redeemer. I'm glad we got a blessed Redeemer. Tonight when we take the Lord's Supper, this grape juice that you drink is going to be a symbol of the blood that he shed for you and I. Don't take it for granted. it cost him his life. Amen? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Next book, Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. Colossians 1, 14, and just keep turning the book up and you'll find it. In whom we have redemption through, what's it through? His blood. Redemption's through the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Boy, that's what it took. It took that pure, holy, cleansing blood to make our sins forgiven. It took Christ shedding that holy blood so we can have all our sins forgiven. Don't ever lose that. The Bible says he was the just and died for the unjust for one reason, that he could bring us unto God. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. I'll tell you, these Lulus that don't believe there's a God, these infidels, look at verse 6, for by him were all things created. Christ was the creator, because Christ was God in the flesh. For by him were all things created, and in heavens, and then on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Boy, Madeline Mary Harrell, she better hope God never dies. Billy, if God would ever cease to exist, you and I would too. By him all things consist. Your lifeblood now and in eternity is stemmed from God. He's the giver of all life. Amen? And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. How many like that? Isn't that great? And having made peace, look at verse 20. How many have got Colossians 1:20? And having made peace through the blood. We're talking about our Lamb, Jesus. We're going to take the Lord's Supper real soon. And what you're doing tonight, it cost Christ his life. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that word reconciliation. Amen. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Can anyone get excited and say amen? Man, I'm a no good wretched sinner. But God says, I'm going to stand. Look at that scripture there. I'm getting excited, as sick as I am. Present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Wow, that's a lot for this old fat boy. You think about it. Because all of us have got stinky feet. All of us have got bad breath. Matter of fact, lately I've been, every night, every time I get up during the night, when I have to go to make that call in the bathroom, I'm starting to gargle every time, just so I can keep my throat fresh. Because, boy, you get up in the morning, it's, oh, things just melt. Man. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm scoping it, man. Two times a night, I'm hitting that scope. Look at that. I don't know about you, but I love that verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Nothing that I did, it's what he did for us. How many get that? It's all him. It's all him that makes it for us. These people that are working their way to heaven, they just don't get it. Look at a couple more scriptures and I'll stop. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 24. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. How many got Hebrews 9:24? Which are the figures of the true. Yeah, put a lot of things down here, but they were just types of what really up in heaven. But in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. How many of you just read that? Christ is in heaven for you, for me. He's our defense attorney. Hello? He's our redeemer. He's our spokesman. He's the one that stands for us. Amen? Propitiation. And notice what that says again. And now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's taking your side. Amen? Oh, I'll tell you. And there's a scripture I didn't think about to just now. I'll come up. It's over in Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 there. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. If I could just heard one word, I could quote it. 1 Timothy. Yeah, he's a mediator. Thank you, Tom. Christ, hold your hand right there. I didn't have stay in Hebrews, but go back just... I didn't have this plan, but look at Timothy there. Don't lose Hebrews. Let me get Timothy, 1 Timothy 2. I didn't have this plan. See if I can find it here. Yeah. I didn't. It's a good scripture. Yeah. Look at 2:5. For there's one God, one mediator between man and God, between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm here glad you got a mediator. And look at verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave it all. Isn't this sad? He died for all, but not many will receive him. Did you know Christ died for the sins of all people? Many people will not go to heaven. It's not because Christ didn't die for their sins, because he did pay the atonement. He paid the atonement for all sins. They just didn't take what was appropriated for them. See, the lamb was there for everyone, but not everybody took the lamb. How many are still with me? A lot of people could be saved today if they would just come to the Lamb. That's why we got to get excited and show people how they need that blood atonement from the Lamb, which is Christ. The Lamb's been slain. All they got to do is take what God gave them. It's a gift. For the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life. And then it tells you something. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life is not through the Baptist church. Eternal life is not through baptism. Eternal life is not through any kind of religion or cult. Eternal life is not through works or speaking in tongues or doing some kind of special deed. Eternal life is only through one way and one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he has died for all so all could come. It's sad that all, you think after all that he did for all, you think everybody would come. Amen? Well, go back to Hebrews. I'm almost done here. In Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 26. Well, I'll do 25. Let's go back to 24 again. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but in heaven itself. That's where he's at right now. To appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now, he did it once for all. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He gave all of himself so all could have. And as is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many are looking for him? There's a great song, I think Pastor Dave could sing it. Talked about the next time he comes. He's a gospel singer. We used to listen to me and Rosie. The next time he comes, he'll be coming for you and me. And he's coming for those that look to him. He's actually coming for all, but not all will look to him. That's sad, isn't it? When they have a way out, and they say no. And so we see that Christ suffered for all, died for all, is coming for all that would put their faith in him. And then one last scripture, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. Then verse 19, so tremendous. No, here's what you've been redeemed by. But with the precious blood. See, that blood that Christ shed in Calvary had no sin. It was without sin, without blemish. He was a perfect Lamb of God. And that blood was God's blood. That's why they called him Emmanuel when he was born. God with us. See, God came down in the form of man so man could actually see God. Because the Bible says no man can see God. He's a spirit. You must worship in spirit and truth. How many are with me? And God came down in the form of a man, Christ Jesus, to redeem all fallen men. And all that will look to him will be redeemed. That's why John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb." You know, I read that a lot earlier. He just didn't say, "Behold the Lamb there." There's that Lamb of God. No. Here's what he did, Billy. I believe it's all my heart. I believe when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, when you read that in John 1:29, I believe John the Baptist got excited, more excited than his preacher, and he said, "Behold! Behold the Lamb of God! Which take away the sins of the world." He wanted the whole world to know, hey, there's your sin bearer. For 4,000 years, we've been offering up lambs, and now God has sent down the Lamb from heaven, to take away all sins of the world. Why don't you get excited? Because that Lamb's the eternal Lamb. It's the Lamb of glory. Well, I'm going to tell you, John the Baptist's blood pressure rose, Josh, when he saw Jesus. Our blood pressure ought to get high too when we think about Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Amen. And so we thank God. Look at that scripture there as I close out. Verse 19 of 1 Peter 1. But we're redeemed by the precious blood. It's not ordinary, it's precious. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we're going to be taking tonight. That wonderful lamb that died 2,000 years ago in Calvary, he shed his blood so you and I could go to heaven. By the way, none of us deserve it. It's all free. It's all grace. By the way, and it just wasn't if you look at verse 20, and I'll stop. It just wasn't a passing thought for Christ to come down and die. Who verily, this lamb that had this precious blood for you and I, who verily Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Norma, before God made earth, Christ had already knew he was coming to die for all man. We're in a football season. I'll try to put it where these guys can get it. Billy, before God made Adam and Eve, he had a game plan to redeem all the human race. That's pretty exciting. Shows you how great God is, too. I mean, he's looking way down. Amen? Who verily was Christ, this wonderful Lamb, Christ that had this without blood, without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, means bring the light. When something is manifest, it comes to light. Christ came to earth. He was born. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Was manifest in these last times, and look what it says there, for you. You say, no one loves me. God loves you. Christ loves you. He came for you. Well, I wasn't even born. Well, I didn't care. He knew you were coming. And by the way, he had determined, Bobby, he knew, Bobby, that he was going to die for you and Jamie and your kids before you ever was even thought of. That's pretty big God, isn't it? And Billy, as much of an old hag I am and a dirty old sinner and yeller and screamer and spittener, he knew that before I ever came. And he still died for me. You ever think about that, Bobby? Hey, hillbilly, think about this. He knew us hillbillies were going to tear things up before we even started tearing them up. And he says, I still love them, and I'm going to die for them. Think about that, Jackie. He knew what we were before we even were or was. Are you with me? And he said, I'm going to die for him. I don't know about you. That's a lot of love. Amen? And so tonight, you're going to take the Lord's Supper. This grape juice represents that blood that the Lamb of Glory, Christ, our Passover. Jesus is the Passover for the whole world, if the world will take him. Make sure that you have Christ as your Savior. Because no one gets into heaven without the Passover Christ. Just like I didn't preach on it, but we started in Exodus. Just how that at midnight the Spirit of God came through and all they had the blood on the doorpost. Those homes were spared that had the blood. Those that didn't have the blood atonement, the firstborns were killed. They died. Because you have to have the blood to live. See, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. One day we're all going to stand before Christ. Every one of us are going to die. And what God's looking for, he's not looking for what you did in your life to qualify you for heaven. He's wanting to see if you got the blood. Do you have the blood of Christ, the atonement? Do you have the blood applied to your life? Because that's what Christ looks for when someone dies. Is that blood been applied to that soul? Come on in. I will pass over you. Amen? Make sure you have that blood atonement applied to your life. It only comes by one way, by putting your faith in the Lamb of God that died for you. That Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross, shed his blood freely, openly. Hallelujah. From 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for 6 hours, Jesus hung on the cross. Six is the number of man. God made man on the sixth day. And God's only begotten Son, Christ, the Savior of the world, he suffered and died and sacrificed on the cross for 6 hours. For all mankind. Amen? But aren't you glad something else though? 3 days later, just like he said, he arose. He's risen, he's reigning, he's real, he's righteous, and one day soon, I believe soon, he's going to return. And the Bible says, I read it to you earlier, for those that know him, he's going to come. Make sure you know Christ as your Savior. This Lord's Supper won't save anybody. It's the truth of behind the Lord's Supper that gets you to heaven. The one who shed his blood for you. This is just grape juice, not blood. But we're to remember what our Savior did so we could get to heaven. Amen? Let's be before the deacons come, let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for being our Lamb of glory slain from the foundation of the world. And Lord, I want to thank you for the blood atonement that, Lord, cleanses us from all sin. Father, only you could have done it. And only your blood, Christ Jesus, would atone for man's sin. Because all men are sinners. We have corrupted blood. But your blood was not corrupt at all. Your blood was pure, holy. It was Emmanuel's blood. It came from the veins of Emmanuel, God. And Father, I pray if there's any here tonight that doesn't know you, may they see Christ, the Lamb of glory, the one that loves them so much, that Lord, that sacrificed so they could be passed over when death comes. They won't have to die and go to hell, but they could live forever in a place called heaven. And Father, I pray that we that are saved, we would rejoice for all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love you. Help us to meditate and to think of the price that you paid so we could have everything. Help us to enter into this Lord's Supper tonight with hearts of thankfulness and gratefulness. Hearts that appreciate what was done for us 2,000 years ago at Calvary. I wonder, before we come tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Could you raise that hand? I know for a fact. Thank you. Would there be any here tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm really not sure. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't remember ever asking Christ into my heart. I don't remember asking Christ to save my soul. I really don't remember the truth that, hearing like you said tonight, that he died specifically for just my sins. I've never applied the cross of Calvary and the work of God on the Calvary for my sins. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, and I'd sure like to know when I die, I go to heaven. Anyone like that? Just pray for me. Lift your hand, put it back down. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. It's got nothing to do with being baptized. It's got nothing to do with being a church member. It's all knowing this wonderful man named Jesus, who was the Savior of the world, the anointed one, the Christ of heaven. Father, we thank you. Everyone here tonight would say that they're born-again Christians. And we rejoice over the thought that everyone here has got the blood atonement applied to their life. As we enter in this night that you gave to the local church, you told us to remember, do this in remembrance of you. Help us, Father. Help us to remember and to be thankful for what you did to redeem us. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.